listeners, a very, very warm welcome to you all, and thank you for tuning into our program Out and About with Leah and Tim. This is the hour every Tuesday from 9 in the morning until 10, during which we draw your attention to not-for-profit community events that are being held in the next 2 weeks or so on the Mornington Peninsula or very nearby. Leah looks after the technical production of the program. She keeps me in order, and she intersperses my chat with pieces of music she's chosen. My name is Tim Acton. I'm a retired airline manager living in Mount Eliza, and I try really hard to pass on the event information in an interesting, helpful, and hopefully entertaining way. But before we move on to the events, may Leah and I wish you, your family members or friends who are celebrating birthdays or significant anniversaries today, the 20th of March. So we wish you all a very, very enjoyable and memorable day. Do you know, you share your birthday with a really remarkable and much-loved lady, Vera Lynn. Vera Lynn is celebrating her 101st birthday today. Dame Vera Lynn, because she's been called a dame now, is the English singer who was enormously popular during World War II for the numerous concerts she gave throughout the UK, Europe, the Middle East, India and Burma for Allied troops, and also for the songs she is well known for. She earned the nickname the Forces Sweetheart. Her best known songs, We'll Meet Again, The White Cliffs of Dover and so on. Do you know, last year, aged 100, she released an album of her songs, and this reached number 3 in the world, in the local charts in England. And she's an amazing person. At 100, she's the oldest recording star ever in the world to have a record in the top half dozen. There you are, a few bars, please. Thanks, Leah.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear, we must part. Don't let this parting upset you, I'll not forget you, sweetheart.
Beautiful. What a great lady, 101. It's fantastic. Look, from the sublime to the ridiculous or maybe quirky, you might think I've been drinking heavily when I tell you that today, the 20th of March, is the official international or world day of a number of unusual causes. For example, it's since 1971, Snowman Burning Day. Snowman Burning Day in America and Switzerland. This is to celebrate the change of season in the Northern Hemisphere from winter to spring. Apparently, wooden or straw model snowmen are built and then burnt on community bonfires. I think it's a bit like our Guy Fawkes Night, isn't it? If you think that's strange, today is also World Sparrow Day. It's been held since 2010, predominantly in India, but 50 other countries too, to raise awareness of the sparrow and other birds that are common to urban areas and of the threats to their survival. Please note that minor birds, the scourge of the Mornington Peninsula with their dive bombing and aggression, are not amongst the birds being honoured today. And today is also World Storytelling Day. It started in Sweden in 1991 and is now a global celebration of the traditions of oral storytelling. At gatherings and through social media, participants are encouraged to tell and listen to stories from different cultures and languages. They not only learn a lot about history and culture, but help to spread the stories globally and from generation to generation. And finally, today, the 20th of March, is World Happiness Day, celebrated worldwide since being created formally by the United Nations and its 193 member countries in 2011. And what are the purposes of World Happiness Day? Well, through education and raising public awareness, to promote equitable economic growth, to eradicate poverty and to increase the well-being and happiness of all people. Admirable, if I may say so, and much needed, in particularly in this world these days. So there you are, a few rather quirky things that today as well is known for and celebrated for. But mainly, let's all have a really happy day on the 20th of March. All of us, that'd be great. And let's get on with some music, Leah, please.
Okay, Tim, and good morning to everybody out there. What a beautiful day. It's a bit cooler out there now. It's nice to get my little jacket out and put it on. Okay, our first song this morning is from U2. This is Song to Someone, and it's from their album Songs of Innocence.
Actually, Leah and I were just testing you to see if you were really listening. Of course, that was not U2 and Songs of Innocence. We actually snuck in a song by Moshiba from the album Big Calm, and it was called Over and Over. So there you are, Over. Now, last Tuesday on this program, I gave details of what turned out to be a thoroughly enjoyable twilight picnic on the back beach at Flinders last Saturday evening. I actually went, it was great. Beautiful setting and great entertainment program. And it was very well organized by Flinders Lions Club. And believe it or not, 2 weeks later, they've got another big event coming underway. Completely different, except again in Flinders, and bound to be most interesting. This one is on Easter Sunday, that's the 1st of April, and is the Flinders Lions Club Motoring Heritage Display. Beautifully maintained and special veteran, classic and modern classic cars will be on display in groups in three areas within Flinders Village, all within short walking distance. They're competing for prizes in a number of categories. And so far, over 100 vehicles have registered to be on display, dating back from the early 1900s until present day. There's going to be Ferraris, Alfa Romeos, Triumphs, Jaguars, Austin Healeys, Daimlers, and the list goes on and on. This is going to be a petrolhead's heaven, as they say, but great for folk of all ages to come along and admire the beautiful cars. I drive a Mazda 3. I don't think I'll park it anywhere near Flinders Village that on that Sunday, but I'll certainly go and look at the beautiful historic cars. It's open to the public from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Alan Moffat, the famous Australian racing car driver, is patron of the event. Entry fee is only $5, and all profits go to Flinders Lions Car Club projects that they're helping local communities. Flinders is a truly lovely place to visit at any time, but this event, a great display of heritage cars, is a huge plus for Easter Sunday. So that's one definitely to get to. Now, a question. Do you, like me, watch that fascinating TV show on Channel 2, Antique Roadshow, in which the very skilled and knowledgeable and communicative experts examine antique objects, talk about their historic origins and their usages in the old days, and then value them, hopefully to the delight of the object's owner? Well, if you watch the program, the gentleman with the striped jackets, he's known for his striped jackets, he's a very congenial expert on antique roadshow since 1979, 40 years he's been on, and he's called Paul Atterbury. Now, Paul is currently in Australia, and he'll be the guest speaker this coming Friday evening, the 23rd of March, in Mount Eliza. Mornington, along the road from Mount Eliza. The Mornington Peninsula branch of the Australian Decorative and Fine Arts Society, which is known as ADFAS, is holding one of their regular lectures in the Peninsula Community Theatre on the corner of Wilson's Road and Nepean Highway, Mornington, about 50 yards from where I'm speaking from right now. The lecture starts at 5:30 p.m. sharp. It's illustrated and it lasts for an hour and then is followed by light refreshments. Now, Paul Atterbury, who is a fellow of the Royal Society of Arts in UK, is going to present a talk on the Canal Age, the development of a network of canals in Britain during the Industrial Revolution between the mid-1760s and the 1840s. Now, this should be fascinating as it will explore the Canal Age's impact on artists and on the manufacturers of decorative antiques of that era. If this lecture interests you and you'd like to attend this Friday at 5:30 in the evening, especially if you might join ADFAS, please give Glad Hungerford a call. Glad Hungerford, 9787-2092. Tell her that you'd like to go, and you might be very pleasantly surprised at the cost of the ticket. It could be free. So there's something worth looking at for this coming Friday. And thirdly, the 2018 Melbourne Wine and Food Festival is running from the 16th of March, it's already started, until the 25th of March. And it's designed to shine a global spotlight on Victoria's world-class food and wine industries, whilst enabling Victoria's residents and visitors to get together and have fun. This is the 26th running of this festival, and it's estimated that more than 250,000 people, 250,000, will have participated at various events across the state by its end on 25th of March. And we folk on the Mornington Peninsula have certainly not been forgotten. Already our excellent wineries have held wine tastings and dining functions. Mornington Racecourse was the venue for a huge picnic last Saturday. The world's longest lunch was held on board the Sea Road ferry from Sorrento to Queenscliff very recently. And there have been other events. The Melbourne Wine and Food Festival ends this Sunday, the 25th of March, but the day before, that's this Saturday, will feature a festival event linking excellent peninsula food and wine, nostalgic steam train travel, and lovely rural countryside. It's called the Mornington Express Wine and Dine Train. And here's the programme. If you're thinking of taking part, you've got to be at Muraduck Station on Two Bays Road, Mount Eliza, by noon on Saturday. There you'll be served canapes and bubbly on the platform before boarding one of the Mornington Railway Preservation Society's beautifully restored and maintained steam locomotives for your journey in a varnished timber compartment like the old days through lovely countryside to Mornington. On board, you'll be served a gourmet lunch with fine wine, and then on the return journey, dessert. And then when you arrive at the station again, back at Muraduck, you're going to have more music and entertainment. Chef Marlene Hoff of 100 Mile Foodie Somerville is supervising the dining experience, and that should be absolutely wonderful. That's the Mornington Express Wine and Dine Train on Saturday. Can only take a certain number of people, so it's essential that you make bookings. You've got to ring 0432 274 907. That's 0432 274 907 as soon as possible. There you are, three good events. Over to you, Leia, for some more music, please, Lydia.
Yes, so let's now listen to You Two with Song to Someone.
There you go, definitely this time, You Two, and that was from their album Songs of Innocence. Now, my very serious subject on today's program relates to myeloma, spelled M-Y-E-L-O-M-A. This is a terminal cancer that afflicts many people, particularly those aged 60 and above. In fact, there are about 10,000 cases in Australia at any one time. Basically, myeloma is a build-up of abnormal and malicious plasma cells in the bone marrow material within the larger bones of one's body. For example, the spine, the skull, pelvis, the shoulders and hips. Plasma cells are supposed to help fight infection in those parts of the body, but myeloma has the reverse effect, resulting in chronic disease, pain, fragile bones and maybe kidney failure. Now, the positive reason for talking about this today is that 4 years ago, Jeff Neeson, N-Y-S-S-E-N, Jeff Neeson, a local chap who was then 40 years old, was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And he decided to assist Myeloma Australia, that's the body in Australia who research and try to assist sufferers, to raise awareness of the disease and to help their fundraising by holding an annual event called My Mount Eliza Run and Fun Festival. It's being held this Sunday, the 25th of March, in Mount Eliza Regional Park, which is off Two Bays Road, fairly close to Murraduck Railway Station, and it's to be found at Melways 105 K8. This is definitely a family event centred around testing one's fitness by taking part in a trail run. There are two distances, 5 kilometres or 10 kilometres, around the park and surrounding area. You can either run, slow jog or walk. Just be in it. Now, if you want to be in it, registration, it starts at 7:30 in the morning onwards. For the 10 KLM starts at 9:30 in the morning. The adults, 5 kilometre, 9:40, and the kids and families, family more like family jog or little fun one, 9:45. Throughout the day, there's going to be stage entertainment, interactive games and fun competitions. Lots to do for children. The accent is on fun whilst raising money for research into myeloma cancer through Myeloma Australia. Now, there's important something here. Participation in the trail runs. Now, depending on which run you take, the adult or children's cost for entry will be between $25 and $45. Car parking, $5 per vehicle. So there you are. That's a really good cause, and well done, Jeff, for getting this underway and leading it. Terrific. To register for the trail runs, www.mymounteliza.org. I'll repeat that. www.mymounteliza.org.au for My Mount Eliza Run and Fun Festival this coming Sunday. Really important. Now, there's a saying, mighty oaks from little acorns grow. In other words, great things come from small beginnings. And I want to give you an example. In 1975, what's that? 43 years ago, a small group of potters got together in Dramana, and they formed the Nepean Workshop of Arts and Crafts. Intervening years saw the group lose their premises twice. They endured financial problems and very challenging workshop difficulties. In 1983, the group, by now known as Dramana Potters, acquired premises at the rear of Dramana Old Shire Hall. They decided to concentrate solely on pottery and have never looked back. They've increased the membership to over 100. They have 7 classes per week, and they cover different aspects of pottery. Raku, that's the one that's used in Japanese tea ceremonies. Pit firings, sculpture, and porcelain modelling. Right, on Saturday week, the 31st of March, the Dramana Potters Group is holding the opening of their annual exhibition at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the Old Shire Hall, which you'll find on the corner of Nepean Road and Verdin Street in Dramana. The exhibition of the members' pottery artworks will be all day on the Saturday from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, and then again the next day, which is Sunday the 1st of April, again from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Entry each day is by gold coin donation. Tickets are not required. So there you are. That's a really interesting exhibition of pottery. For contacts, if you want to know about the exhibition or are thinking of joining any of the classes, ring Margarita, charming Margarita, 0418 106 625. That's Margarita, 0418 106 625. 625, all about the Dramana Potters Group. Now, if I said the name Jeremy Scott to you, what would you think? Yes, well, there is a well-known American fashion designer of that name, but I want to tell you about another Jeremy Scott, much closer to here. This Jeremy is a baby who, as a baby, suffered from a huge hole in his heart, and at the age of four underwent open heart surgery, and his childhood and youth years activities were severely restricted. However, at the age of 39, Jeremy Scott, with practically no experience or training, took the plunge and set off on a 2.5-year solo bike ride around the globe. This took him to over 50,000 kilometres through 29 countries, from the UK in the north to New Zealand in the south. He had life-threatening dramas on the way, but also experienced many acts of kindness and humanity from complete strangers. The story of his epic journey and stunning photographs he took on the way are contained in a book, The Long Road from a Broken Heart, which was published quite recently. And the profits from this book go to the Australasian and British Heart Foundation research programs. So why am I telling you this? Well, Jeremy Scott will be giving a talk about his book tomorrow. That's tomorrow, this Wednesday, tomorrow, at Mornington Library, Vancouver Street, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning for 1 hour. And then he's moving on to Rosebud Library in McDowell Street, Rosebud, where he'll be talking at 2:30 in the afternoon. Attendance at either of these talks is completely free, although it would be good to let the library know you're going to be there. So this is a chance to hear about a very inspiring journey of self-discovery by Jeremy Scott. Very much recommended to you. It should be extremely interesting. And I think it's high time we went back to my friend Leia for her next piece of music. Thanks, Leia.
Yes, Tim, my next piece of music is from a local band in Frankston, which I'm really loving listening to in the car at the moment. That's where I listen to all my CDs and my music. And this is Grey Horizon. This is Change.
There you are. You're listening to Out and About with Leia and Tim. The time is 9:41, I think. This is the program in which we draw your attention to community events on the Mornington Peninsula in the next couple of weeks or so that might interest you. However, out and about can also mean trips away from home. So at this time each week, I give a short 6 or 7 minute talk about somewhere overseas, throughout Australia, or just in Victoria that you might enjoy visiting on holiday. Matthew Flinders, the English naval navigator who was the first, who led the first voyage around Australia in 1802, was born on 16th of March 1774, so last week was his birthday. Named after him is Flinders Island, and that's my subject today, Flinders Island, part of the state of Tasmania, one of 80 islands scattered in a chain between Cape Portland on the northern tip of Tasmania and Wilson's Promontory in Victoria. Flinders Island is not huge. It can be driven around in about 3 hours. 900 people live there permanently, making a living from farming, fishing and tourism. Geographically, Flinders Island has jagged ridges of granite called one called Mount Sletsetsky. I can't say that, Sletsetsky. They've got the Darling Range, Mount Killiecrankie, and the Patriarchs. They're all very vivid, sort of jagged mountains, very dramatic, and covering about one third of the land. The eastern side of Flinders Island is a broad plain, providing good farming land as well as grazing for cattle and sheep. The rocky coastline comprises of sand dunes, soil deposits, lagoons, and about 50 beautiful sandy beaches and coves. Now, as the name suggests, the island was named after Captain Matthew Flinders. The first settlers were sealers, and when the sealing industry collapsed in 1829, they and their mainly Aboriginal wives decided to remain on the island farming and mutton birding. Now, the mutton birds were used for their oil, their meat, and their feathers. The soldier settlement scheme of the early 1950s resulted in a population growth, clearing off more farmland, and it led to Flinders Island as it is today. There are only two little townships on the island. One's called Whitemark, that's the administrative centre, and there's a little township called Lady Barron, which is the main port area. Each of them has a hotel, a supermarket, some housing, but do you know, no traffic lights or parking meters or McDonald's. Heaven on earth. The natural bushland is home to a wide range of wildflowers, eucalypts, saltbush, and so on. Native animal life abounds. Wallabies, wombats, possums, skinks, and three types of venomous snakes. Yeah. There are 200 species of birds living on or visiting Flinders Island, including Cape Barren geese. They are absolutely beautiful grey birds, beautiful. And mutton birds, or we sometimes call them short-tailed shearwaters, thousands of which make an annual migration across the Pacific to the Arctic Circle, 15,000 kilometres, and then they return to Flinders Island to the same burrow about the same week every year, which is quite amazing. Now, when I visited Flinders Island recently, I flew on one of Sharp Airlines' four times weekly services from Essendon Airport. I stayed at the Whitemark Hotel, and I hired an Avis car because there's no public transport around the island. Now, let me just describe the main points of interest in the order I visited them. On the northeast corner of the island, at the mouth of the Northeast River, on one side of which is a really beautiful sandy cove, and on the other is the Foo Chow Beach. That one stretches 30 kilometres southeast. This beach was named after the coal-carrying ship City of Foo Chow, which was wrecked on rocks there in 1877, one of 65 shipwrecks around the island. It's pretty wild for shipping. Secondly, there's Mount Killiecrankie, a steep granite rock rising almost sheer from the sea, reached by walking and climbing along a beautiful beach. And this beach is also where one can find topaz stones washed up by the sea, from which stylish jewellery can be made. They're called Killiecrankie diamonds. Thirdly, you've got the Flinders Island Historic Museum, which was established in 1964 and is run completely by volunteers. It's really interesting, but it's only open on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. It's got a great collection of photos, documents, instruments, and artifacts relating to the history and natural history of the island. Also, it's got shipwreck relics, a fine collection of Aboriginal shell necklaces, and an original hut used by mutton bird butchers, if that's the right word. The fourth attraction for me was the Strzelecki National Park. Yes, I did set off one morning to try to climb 756 metres to the top of the mountain to get the fantastic 360-degree view from there. And no, I didn't make it. I only made it halfway, but a healthy, energetic trek and beautiful scenery, so it was worth doing. And Tasmania is visible on a clear day. Nearby was my favourite beach on Flinders Island. It's got the funny name of Trousers Point Beach. Trousers Point. It's has turquoise water, she oaks, granite rocks, dramatic backcloth of the national park, and not another soul in sight. Absolute paradise. And incidentally, the name Trouser Point is to commemorate the escape and survival of someone called John Burgess from a shipwreck of the Sarah Ann Blanche, which is the name of the ship, in 1871, from which she arrived on the beach trouserless. Then there's the Wybalina historic settlement. This is all that's left of the village where 160 Aborigines were forcibly settled in the 1830s from Tasmania. There's a little brick chapel originally built by them as a wool shed. Over 100 of them died of disease, exhaustion, homesickness, and despair. And they're buried in a little cemetery on the hillside beside the chapel. Look, I hasten to add, this is the only sad place on Flinders Island, which I found absolutely beautiful and well worth visiting. So if you get a chance, please try to get to Flinders Island. It's really worthwhile. On to the final events for today that I want to highlight. And look, I've got to tell you, I'm a fan of the Peninsula Grammar, the Peninsula School in Wirralla Drive, Mount Eliza. Peninsula School was founded in 1961, is now an independent coeducational school, and it's got about 1,400 students from preschool to year 12, and is highly rated. But it's their music department that I want to focus on today. This plays a huge role in the educational and cultural life of Peninsula School and has a wide-ranging program of instrumental and vocal activities for the students. In 2016, the school's music department, under the leadership of the head of instrumental music, Richard Vaudrey, introduced the Peninsula Grammar Presents concert series. And this comprises of 8 concerts per year, performed by local and international music acts. These provide a chance for the whole community, students and families, to enjoy quality music in the school's Performing Arts Centre. Now, the second concert this year is being held this Thursday evening, the 22nd of March. It starts at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it features Christian Winther, W-I-N-T-H-E-R, Christian Winther. He's the Canberra-born violinist who's performed with symphony and chamber orchestras all over Australia and internationally. Tickets for the two-hour concert cost $25 each and are obtainable on website www.eventbrite.com or at the Peninsula Grammar Performing Arts Centre in the school in Willara Drive, Mount Eliza, on Thursday evening, the 22nd of March. The concert starts at 7 and you can buy tickets there. Now, Leah, I've got to admit something to you. For years, I've wanted to own a bonsai, those miniature trees, you know, a little miniature tree planted and living in a little pot or tray and ornamentally shaped in the most attractive and interesting way. I think they're fantastic. Whilst the word bonsai is Japanese, the art form of tree growth goes back well over 1,000 years to ancient Chinese horticulture and then was redeveloped under the influence of the Japanese Zen Buddhism. Now I know where I can buy one, a bonsai. I'm going to go to Mornington Peninsula Society's 39th Easter show on Saturday the 31st of March and Sunday the 1st of April, that's Easter weekend, at the Balcombe Grammar School in Mount Martha. The Mornington Peninsula Society has about 45 active members, and they'll be displaying 70 to 80 of their bonsai trees, which will be magnificent. At the bonsai show, there'll be demonstrations of how to shape and repot them, the opportunity to meet and seek advice from top bonsai experts, and most importantly, especially for me, there'll be a very comprehensively stocked trading table. Special pots and containers, gardening tools, books about the history and development of bonsai as an art form, and of course, bonsais for sale. Some will be newly planted ones, some will be part-shaped, and some will be pruned, and others fully established. So for more details about the show, Saturday the 31st of March, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m., Sunday, the 1st of April, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Balcombe Grammar School, 389 Nepean Highway, Mount Martha. That's Melways 151 C1 and 2. Tickets at the door, $5 for adults, very, very reasonable. $4 for concession and children free. And any inquiries, ring up Bruce. Bruce is on 0439 377 996 for Bonsais. Yay, go Bonsais. The year is racing by and Easter is almost upon us. Apart from its religious significance, Easter has particular attraction not only for its four-day holiday break, but also to children. I've got to say children of all ages in spirit from 0 to 100. To gorge themselves on chocolate Easter eggs, and I plead guilty. Look, there are numerous events happening on the Mornington Peninsula and nearby this coming Easter, the 30th of March, until the 2nd of April, and I'll endeavour to publicise details of many of these in our programme next Tuesday, but there are two major Easter egg hunts happening this Sunday, the 25th of March, that I need to cover straight away. The Frankston Family Picnic and Egg Hunt this Sunday in the beautiful setting of St Augustine's School, which you'll find in Gulf Links Road, Frankston South, is on from 10 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. Now get this, there will apparently be over 30,000 chocolate eggs, Easter eggs, to be found scattered around the Bushland Park. But to be fair to all kids, egg hunts will be divided into age groups. So in other words, they'll space them out. So bookings are essential. You can take a picnic. There'll be games, live entertainment, carnival rides, food and drink stalls. Guaranteed lots of laughter, fun, and lots of chocolate Easter eggs to be eaten. Tickets, $12.50 per head. Bookings essential. Tickets essential. You must get in touch with Frankston. This is the website, Frankston Family Picnic, all one word. frankstonfamilypicnic.com.au for Sunday, this coming Sunday in Frankston. And Mornington is not being left behind because Mornington has its biggest ever Easter egg hunt. Also this Sunday, the 25th, from 10 till 2 in Mornington Park, which is at Schnapper Point, just above the wharf. This one is open to children aged from 0 to 12. Adults, of course, can come along and watch. And a gold coin donation is all that's required to enter into this event, which is to raise funds for Fusion Mornington Peninsula, which supports the young homeless in our community. Thousands of Easter eggs to be found, plus kids' entertainment, free face painting, animal farm, inflatables, a petting zoo, balloon artists, food trucks and more. For registrations for the Mornington Easter Hunt, which is again divided into children's age groups, have actually closed. It's already finished that. But I've spoken to the organisers. If you ring Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, Lauren, 0413 487 179 and say you heard about this Easter hunt on RPP, she may be able to help. I'll be surprised if she doesn't. There you are. We've raced through that a bit. Lots of events for today. But now we've got a last piece of music, which I really love. I chose this one. It's Grace Knight, the jazz singer, brilliant jazz singer. And she's singing an appropriate song for this program. Don't get around much anymore, but we do, don't we? So over now for Grace Knight. There you are, Grace Knight, one of my all-time favourites. Look, thank you for listening to us today. We've loved having you with us. If you've enjoyed the programme, that's great. Listen next Tuesday. If you know of any community events you want to be publicised, give me a buzz, 0418 310 727, and we'll try to cover them on the programme. Have a good week. Keep healthy. Have fun leading up to Easter now. So got a big programme coming up. But thank you again, and all the best from Leia and me. Cheers.